Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Somehow, almost inexplicably, Mike Vrabel has his football team in first place in the division after a Buffalo Bills loss last night. And you can talk about that all day long here. You can celebrate that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. And we will talk about that with Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday coming up in about 20 minutes or so. There is, because of the rain, there was another, almost same exact place, another tractor trailer, which jackknifed early this morning on the expressway near Mass Ave. So that is an issue for those that are trying to get around this morning. So just be aware of that.
Wiki and I were both trying to figure out how the one yesterday could have happened, but that highway has the barriers that they put up and take down, and then sometimes all of a sudden they'll start out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, it could it be something that has to do with that?
For the HOV lane, you mean?
Yeah.
It was probably the rain, I would imagine, and unable to stop. Because there was a car involved also yesterday, so yeah, I don't know if you saw that, but yeah.
There was no boxes, though, in the FedEx truck, so nothing fell off the truck.
No, but speaking of the rain, we should open the window world of Boston weather window for our weather smoke, Curtis. It is raining out there. How long today? What's the deal?
Let's see. Got to get the updated Euro here. Right now, it feels like 45 in the city of Boston. It's raining. It's going to be off and on today, but only about a half inch more of rain today. The total rain will be about 2 inches for the area, dissipating in the afternoon, but enough to be slippery for your evening commute as well.
Okay. You can get a whole house full of windows installed for just $99 a month when you go to windowworldofboston.com. This is Dave from Mattapoisett. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
So I happen to work at the Lizzie Borden House, and I was hoping I could clear up a couple of things. First of all, though, I want to say if any of you guys want to come down and take the tour, I'll bring you on the tour.
Courtney might do that. Courtney is obsessed with the true crime, so maybe she would.
A couple of things. We're a little worried about this Netflix show because all the other movies that they've put out like haven't really been accurate. And we do a lot of research with the Fall River Historical Society and our own digging. And what we tell is completely factual. Just tell you real quick why... One of the reasons Lizzie Borden, or some of the reasons Lizzie was acquitted, there was no blood on her when she was seen by her neighbor immediately after the murder. They never found a murder weapon. There was no eyewitness to the murder. So basically, she was only accused because she was the only one home.
Okay, but who axed her parents?
So that's the thing. It's still a cold case to this day. So if you take our tour, we'll tell you everybody in the area's motive, all the ways that they could have done it in the house or out of the house.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't look like it was Lizzie. And here's the other fun thing, Greg. Her attorney was the former Massachusetts governor, and he appointed one of the judges that presided over her case.
Mm. Now, important question for me on the tour. What kind of snacks are available?
You got to buy snacks in the gift shop after, but, you know, crackers, candy bars, you know.
There are reports that she, like, burned a dress from what I've read, and that they thought that that might have been the dress she was
wearing. Also, isn't it supposed to be, like, one of the more haunted places in the area?
I don't know.
I don't know anything about that. That's
well, if you have more information about Lizzie Borden or tips that could lead to solving this case, please call 1-800-CRIME-STOPPERS. He was like, it's still like a cold case.
Years old. I don't even know why. Why are they doing her? I guess probably because she was the first high-profile female murderer accused in the United States or something. I'm assuming
equal opportunity. But exactly.
No, but she's not like a serial killer.
No, right. No, but it's like all about monsters.
But yeah, she's but not like, a monster,
but,
though.
But she was found innocent.
Right.
Yeah, we agree. I but mean, did she? Seem, was she innocent?
It seems dumb for Netflix. Like, you can't go from Ed Gein, who was wearing entire people's skin as a, like a, as clothing.
Right.
To Lizzie Borden,
but you
who
went
didn't
from
kill
the Menendez
parents.
Brothers like it's, to Ed Gein,
right? But that's a
so that's completely different.
Yeah,
and but you went from Dahmer
to
but
two, the, you went from Dahmer to the Menendez but brothers, but the to Ed Gein, now to Lizzie
Menendez
Borden.
Menendez brothers were considered monsters because they did it,
but and they killed their two parents, so they weren't serial killers like Ed Gein or like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah,
it's
I
just two different categories.
I had no
of
idea
monster.
Who she was when I heard it, and Netflix was doing it. I figured, oh, she must be real, like. She must have killed a bunch of people.
Yeah, I thought you missed an opportunity there to ask Dave about how the Titans will react to their coach being fired on Sunday. But
I wanted to ask if they do like theme stuff with the food. Like if you order a ham sandwich, do they slice it with an axe or something like that? Like,
that'd be kind of cool. I wonder if there's an adult version of the tour.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, can we get back to the news, please?
Oh, I would love to.
And then sports. And then it's all sports, the whole rest of the show after the
I'm
news.
Sure.
I can't. It's driving me crazy. We've gone like 20 minutes without talking about sports.
Too long.
Well, we're sticking with true crime here because there's an update on the doc I recommended last week, The Death in Apartment 603 on Hulu. Philadelphia has ruled Ellen Greenberg's death a suicide once again, and I am beside myself.
You're fascinated with this.
If you watch this story, if you do any research on this story, the fact that it was ruled a suicide in the first place is shocking. This woman had over 20 stab wounds to the back of the head and neck.
And they're saying she did it to herself.
Yes, and she was
found. I guess you could do that.
Well,
could
so
you?
Listen, so follow the there was a new review by the Philadelphia Medical Examiner's Office. They determined Ellen died by suicide despite sustaining 20 stab wounds to the back, neck, and head with a knife that was then protruding from her chest. The Greenbergs family attorney, Joseph Prodaza Jr., he released a statement yesterday saying that this was a deeply flawed attempt to justify a predetermined conclusion and includes false claims like the assertion that a stab wound found in Ellen's spinal column was made during the autopsy and not as one of the stab wounds. Crazy.
Yeah.
They also, like, if you watch this doc, her fiancé, Sam, was down in the gym, came back up. He claims that the apartment door was latched from the inside, went down to get security.
Yeah.
Security said they couldn't leave the post. He went back up. He ended up breaking down the door and found her like that.
Suspicious, you're saying.
Well, nobody was with him.
You're just wondering.
Nobody was with him to verify his story.
Okay, what's the doc called? Because I got to watch it.
The Death in Apartment 603.
Okay, and it's on Hulu?
Hulu.
If you were to be wanting to end your life, and I hope nobody does, wouldn't stabbing be the last thing you would do to yourself?
Correct.
Yes.
Like,
especially in the back.
Like, what are we doing? Of course it's some roid rage dude downstairs. I mean, give me a break.
Curtis, can you ask Lindsay if I have Hulu?
I will.
Okay, thank you. What's next?
A man in northern Kentucky is going for the Guinness Book World Record for Halloween decorations this year.
Okay. Is it time to compare these people to the adult Disney people? Like, I get it. You love Halloween. You're a grown-ass adult.
Right.
Like, so what is he trying to get the most decorations in his yard?
Yes.
Like,
precisely. He has over 300 props. He goes by Halloween Herm. and there's a sweet part of this. He started decorating his Village Green Drive home for Halloween in honor of his mom, who loved Halloween. They lost her to cancer in 99. This year's display, which is doubling as a fundraiser for the Northern Kentucky Children's Advocacy Center. That if you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, you can see some video. Ooh. That is Halloween Herm.
How much does the guy spend on decorating his yard for
a lot of money?
Those are expensive.
It must be thousands of dollars. People do it at Christmas time,
right,
too.
Yeah. He has a skeleton this year of Taylor Swift.
Okay.
But you get to make donations when you go by. We can hear from Halloween Herm.
Every year we aspire to get bigger and greater as we continue to tell our story and just try to spread joy We lost her in 99 to cancer. So the day she passed, August 18th, is the day we usually start setting up in her memory. We discovered that there's no record for the amount of props in a Halloween display. So we have over 300. So we thought it was an interesting factoid, and fingers crossed we'll know sometime in 2026.
I like a good Halloween decoration.
Oh, you love Halloween.
Yeah.
You're one of the adults I'm talking about.
Yeah, like, go all out.
You live for it.
Yeah.
What would you say to a guy that begins decorating for Halloween before the preseason ends in the NFL?
Correct.
Oh, yeah, that's like, a little extreme. Yeah.
It's August, and you're putting up skeletons in your driveway?
Yeah, that's a little extreme.
A little soon on that.
Said it was for his mama, though.
Yeah.
I mean, God
give him a pass.
Speaking of Halloween, no surprise, but a new study done on behalf of CVS Pharmacy shows most Americans finish their Halloween candy stash before Halloween. In fact, the average American finishes the stash twice before seeing their first trick-or-treater, and one in four say they had to restock three or more times before October 31st.
Is there a bigger dad move than claiming you got the BOGO Reese's Pieces at the end of September? Like just throwing them in. I mean, the fun-size candy is lethal. Because you don't ever feel like you're having much of it.
Yeah.
And you always have a couple. It sucks without kids, though. That's the one thing that I miss out from Halloween is I don't get to enjoy eating their candy, you know, or having the candy at the house and nobody comes gets it. And then you have it there for the next couple of weeks. So,
yeah. Well, this is your first Halloween in the burbs.
I
know
wait.
You're very excited about it.
It's also my parents' anniversary, and they've decided that they want to celebrate with us, watching us, you know, supply for trick-or-treaters for the first time. So
no
they're going to come to the city.
No surprise there.
Yeah.
I'm
excited.
Mean, really.
I can't wait.
Are they go big or go
send,
home.
Are they going to send you out on your own at some point? Or
I mean, no, probably not.
Probably not.
Why would they?
Yeah, no. Why?
Your parents got married on Halloween?
They did. My mom doesn't like to talk about it. My mom's not a big Halloween person. And when people say, like, did people wear costumes? She said it was the only Saturday available.
All right.
Okay. What is next?
We're going to end with Florida.
And now
it's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of
Come to Miami,
Florida.
Florida,
not like the rest of us.
The people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns.
On WEEI.
Oh, they don't close Florida.
26-year-old Jordan Cotto was arrested for a drive-by cheeseburgering. So this happened at Atlantis Gentlemen's Club in Largo.
Of course it did.
Yeah, he reportedly used to work there and showed up, asked to speak to a manager, and an argument ensued that spilled out into the parking lot. He went back to his car, got in, and he had a cheeseburger inside. That's when he drove by and threw it at the man he was in an argument with.
What a waste of a good cheeseburger.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The man was not injured from cheeseburger, although it did hit him in the shoulder, and Cotto was arrested for battery.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would recommend that if you have a cheeseburger in your vehicle, you save it in case you might get hungry and not throw it at others when you're angry. But to each his own,
absolutely,
as we say.
Yeah.
All right. That is that whole Key Largo, Isla Mirada, Key West, that whole area, which I saw during my 4.5-hour Uber ride, is beautiful.
Gorgeous. Absolutely. I used to go to Key Largo with my family. There was a hotel that had like kids for free, so you got to do whatever water sports, unlimited, all day, every day. It was awesome.
I don't think I've been there. Like, I used to go there with my grandparents to Longboat Key.
Oh.
But I don't think I have been there in so long. It's so beautiful there. And the they have the southernmost point that you can go to in
the continental U.S.
in Key West, which is beautiful. It was awesome.
Is Key West where all the cats are?
Like they have the a chickens.
Lot of oh,
there's chickens running free at free random chickens all around you.
And then is there like a historic hotel that a writer used to
Hemingway
Ernest Hemingway?
Yeah.
Yes,
that was
to
Key
frequent
West.
The bars.
Yes, and the Key Lime Pie is fantastic to die for down there.
They just call it pie.
I love pie.
It's very, very good. All right. Is that it?
That's
on news? All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Courtney, coming up, Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday with the New England Patriots in first place.
Sports.
And here now is Courtney with what is trending this hour.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Bruins have their first loss of the season, dropping a home matinee game to the Lightning 4-3. This comes despite unreal effort from David Pastrnak, who made a save on an empty net attempt by the Lightning in late third period play. Korpisalo was in goal. He had 19 saves in the loss. The Bees are now off until Thursday. The Patriots are the number one team in the AFC East after the Bills fell to the Falcons 24-14 last night. Josh Allen completed 15 of 26 passes for 180 yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions in the loss. While Bijan Robinson Jr. was the star for Atlanta, he had 19 carries for 170 yards and a touchdown in the win. The other Monday night game was Bears-Commanders. Chicago getting the win 25-24 thanks to a Jake Moody 38-yard field goal as time ran off the clock. And the Pats have the Titans on Sunday in Tennessee. The Titans fired their head coach yesterday. Brian Callahan got the boot. After the Titans started the season 1-5, their latest loss 20-10 to the Raiders. And fall in love in a 2025 Subaru, SubaruofNewEngland.com. Fall in love in a brand new Subaru featuring symmetrical all-wheel drive. Find yours at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. We have Ty Law coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday is brought to you by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. By Apex Entertainment, visit 100,000 square feet of pure fun at Apex in Marlboro. And by 110 Grill, visit one of the 34 locations throughout New England for modern American cuisine in a trendy, casual atmosphere. And Ty Law, with a Buffalo Bills loss last night, somehow the New England Patriots find themselves in first place in the division this morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Good morning, guys. It feels even better right now. When was the last time we've been leading in the division? I mean, when's it been?
Wow. Curtis, as a savant, would probably
That would be week one last year with the Gatorade bath at 1-0. They were tied.
That's been a long time.
That's been a long time, man. Hey, I love what I'm seeing out there, and I think it's up for grabs, man. Just the AFC, right? I mean, this is a great time to be a pretty decent football team because it ain't a lot of good football being played right now. I understand injuries happen, but it is a great time to be a Patriot. We're on the come up. We're feeling that the nostalgia of the old school, you know, the wins, and we finding ways to win, all kind of ways, man. I love it. I love it.
Does it surprise you when it comes to Mike Vrabel that he has been able to turn this around so quickly here?
You know what? I'm not surprised that Mike Vrabel. I'm more surprised that the team responding because, I mean, there's still a lot of people on there from last year. You know what I mean? It's like you don't know what to expect. A new coach coming in, man. So I had all the faith in the world for Mike Vrabel. I didn't have so much faith in the overall team. And Mike Vrabel, hey, that's why he get paid the big bucks, goddamn.
Ty, I think a lot of that has to do, and you've been in locker rooms before, when you start to bring in guys, and there's still a lot of guys from last year, but I think he brought in a lot of guys that have kind of basically pressed his message in that locker room. And I think that's why you kind of see the culture changing. How important it is to have guys in the locker room, you know, sending that message out to the guys that are new or were here last year?
It's very important because you're going to need the locker room to carry the team forward. I mean, it's one thing about the coach. You're always going to be looked at the coach, but who is going to be policing within the locker room. And that's the one thing that we had for so many years. It started, you know, with, you know, our group, Wiggy, and it just carried over. And the guys were able to stay around for a period of time. You know, with free agency and everything nowadays, you know, ain't no telling how long you're going to be anywhere. You know what I mean? Because everybody out there got to go out there and try to get the bag. But we had enough people there year after year and learn what the Patriot way was, which people quoted it the Patriot way. It's going to be interesting now that Mike Vrabel was there. He's installing his version of the Patriot way, and hopefully those guys and the new free agents that's coming in, they're going to say, okay, this is what it's all about. So I love what they're doing right now. The leadership is there. We have us a damn quarterback. He's going to the Pro Bowl. I'm going to tell you right now, Drake May is going to be a Pro Bowler. I don't know about MVP Shine, but he's definitely going to be a Pro Bowler, man. So I love what they got going on right now.
Well, that can count as this week's Drake Take from Ty Law, and that's presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. There was, when it comes to pumping the brakes, there was some Drake as MVP talk on this very radio station yesterday, which it's a little bit early for me on that. But Ty, you've been impressed with him.
Too early.
You've been impressed with him for quite some time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just see how he's managing the game, and you think about it. Stephon Diggs had the monster game. We was waiting for him to break out. Guess what? You think it'll carry over to the next week? No, he did what he had to do. Of course, we had the one big catch call back, but he's finding ways to get everybody involved. You know what I mean? That's the thing that I'm most impressed about. Not only is his patience and how he's handling himself, you know, in situations, he's spreading the ball around. Again, it brings us back to Tom Brady as far as, you know, not having that premier wide receiver. He's finding ways to win. So who's ever open, I'm going to get you the ball. He's making the right reads and the right plays, and that's what you need as a quarterback, especially.
Ty?
That he's the future.
Okay. AAF phone if Ken Laird is listening. Yeah, yes.
Ty, we talked a lot about officiating yesterday when it comes to this game. As a former player, is it more frustrating for you to watch the way in which the refs call it, or do you think that the non-football players are blowing it out of proportion?
The non-football players, but the refs, let's keep it real. They're human, but some of them stink. Some of them stink. I can't get fined. We can say it. We couldn't say this while we was playing, but some of them, they need to go back to referee, you know, community college or something, because, I mean, I don't get it. You know, they need to go whatever the college is for referees. You know, I can't get fined now, so I'm enjoying talking about, you know, the lack of preparation sometimes, you know what I mean? And I understand it's a hard game. It's the eye, but you got all this technology now. You got to use it because some of those referees, I think they're playing favoritism at times. You know, I mean, I've seen this whole clip. And not saying that that's what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. I know it's conspiracy theory with the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's put that out there. But they made some damn good points. He made a video where it was a day. I don't know who this guy was. It was some damn good points that it's like they're embedded within the league or something. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I ain't saying nobody's cheating, but the referees, they need to do better.
Yeah,
they need to do better.
Week one, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, there was a ticky-tack PI called against the Chiefs that all of a sudden was picked up.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, watching the Pop Douglas call that was negating that unbelievable touchdown against the who the hell they play on Sunday?
Saints.
God, my brain. Was awful. And I thought, if ever there was a time to pick up an effing flag, that was it. And they didn't. And it's just enraging. Watching games, it is ruining the enjoyment of what is otherwise the greatest entertainment we have in America right now.
And I can agree with you, Dad, but we're not there yet. I mean, the old Patriots, we might have got those calls in the pickup. Hell, we had a guy by the name of Tom Brady and all that stuff over there. We can keep the thing going. But we ain't there yet at the Patriots, so we're not going to get those calls. It's kind of like, you know, basketball. You know, you got to earn it, I guess. I guess Kansas City earned it. You touch Michael Jordan, damn it, foul. You touch LeBron James, damn it, foul. You know, the rest of them in there, oh, I mean, hell no. Get up, walk, and shake it off. You know, you ain't getting no foul. So that's how I look at it. You got to earn your stripes. You know, like they earn their stripes. I don't know how they got them. Like I said, community college referees. but you got to earn your stripes in the NFL.
Listen, you can
get some calls.
You can debate the PI call, those PI calls all day long. It's just something I don't think we've ever seen where, and the explanation from the refs afterwards was so weird, where you basically have special teams out there
right.
lining up, and then suddenly upon reflection, the ref is like, well, wait a minute, you know, I saw a block downfield and I got to wait until the pass is thrown for the flag to be thrown. It's the most I've never seen it ever in the and right. you played Wiggy for a long time.
Which doesn't make sense, because if there is a block downfield, they throw the flag right away.
Right.
So they always right. do that. You see it all the time. If you're blocking downfield as a receiver on a screen play and the ball's not out, they're throwing that flag
okay,
right
so
away.
So they're not waiting until the pass is thrown and then reflecting afterwards for 2 minutes about what progressing, the ref said he needed to progress through his mind.
Rewind.
The other thing was, Greg, it's one thing if the Patriots get the touchdown and they go to the sideline celebrating it because it benefits them to act like everything's fine. The Saints were all off the field, too. It's not like anybody on the Saints actually thought there was a pass interference on the play.
Right.
No. Ty, you know what I would do? And Curtis has been asking the question, how do we fix this? And I've been thinking about this for the past couple of days. Shine brought up a good point, which I agree, is make the officials all full-time so then you can find them. But the thing that I would do, Ty, there's 7 officials on the field. I would add it to, like, I would make it to like, 10 because maybe what you need is more eyes out there.
Why not go full roster, like 53 right. of them?
No, but you know,
it's like ESPN's pregame show. There's 17 people on the desk.
But there's 11 players on the field for each team. There should right. be 11 referees on the field, right?
Think about this.
Yeah, they just shadow. Somebody shadows somebody, like, all game.
Right,
yeah.
But think about this. You have 2 guys behind the plate that are trying to watch holding. They're trying to watch, mm-hmm. Illegal, all these things that are being done. I feel like sometimes you might need more eyes that can come together and go, oh, no, that wasn't a penalty.
No, don't they get some guy up in the press box doing that?
No, they just the press box.
As referee, somebody needs to ref the referees. And I know they got the instant replay. I know they always talking about, oh, such and such referee. I guess it's the celebrity referees that come on board to get a damn opinion, which I never know who any of them are, any of their names, but I guess they're the experts in this situation. They need to be at the game. And I did not know referees. I come in on Tuesdays. I'm a part-time.
Yes.
We dumped out of that S-bomb, but yes.
Okay. Hey, see, I did not know that. So, you know what? That would help. And then you can hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
If you're paying them full time, I don't know why the NFL don't have full time. That's a new one to me. So, who the hell is the referee union? Okay. Who's fighting for them? That's crazy.
Ty did or Wiggy, both of you did refs ever come up to you in game and say, "Hey, I'm sorry, I missed one. I owe you one."
No, I don't remember that. Uh-huh. I don't remember that. But I used to go to refs before the game, the back judge, and say, "Hey, these guys are holding all the time," and maybe put that in their head. And sometimes it works because, they'll like focus on that, and then you might get a little bit of a flag because you kind of always say, "Hey, they're holding. Yeah. I've been watching them on film. They like to hold. Keep an eye on them."
I think what he thought you said was, "I'm holding."
No,
in
no,
case
no.
you need any after the game.
No, I ain't holding. I did some holding in the run blocking, but
they got you on a word limit.
I did the same thing with you, like, especially if you know a certain ref out there, especially if I know I'm about to play physical with this guy. I used to say, I tried to joke about it. Hey, ref, I'm about to choke the hell out of him in the first play. I just let you know. So don't mind me. I'm gonna choke the hell out of him. Get him laughing or something like that. But you gotta have that relationship if you can. With the refs, and some of them were cool. Don't get me wrong, some of them were cool, but some of them you knew not to play with. I mean, you kind of, playing for so long, you knew which refs that was cool that you can go dap up and all that. You know what I mean? So it's a chess match out there. It's definitely a chess match. But if you can get a ref on your side and he understand how you play, that advantage to you.
Titans fire their head coach yesterday. We were talking about this earlier, and Wiggy said oftentimes, well, Shine brought up the statistics on it. Shh, shocker. Oftentimes a team will play harder when their head coach has been fired. Is that a concern for the Patriots heading into the Titans this week?
I don't think so because, I mean, it depends on who's stepping up as the head coach. Usually the interim coaches, a lot of times that guys will like their coordinator or their position coach. They like them more anyway. You know what I mean? So not saying that they'll play hard for them, but they know all eyes are looking at them. But I ain't going to say they're going to play harder just because they're head coach. Because, hell, half the guys, and if they're in there losing, half the guys probably in there ain't like his ass anyway. You know, hey, man, get him on out of here. Because, man, people at the end of the day want to win. You know that, Wiggy, man, we want to win, man.
Oh, man.
You know, it was disappointing. Like, I was, for instance, Pete Carroll, you know, I mean, that was my guy. Some guys didn't want him. I was on the other end when I did the little interview when they getting certain guys. What do you think? Damn it, leave him here. Hell, I was still under the Pete Carroll contract when Belichick was here. I like Pete Carroll. That was me.
But you liked him.
I liked him as a coach. I'm just saying. I liked him as a coach because. Go ahead.
You liked him because of the deal he gave you.
I was gonna get that. Hey, God, believe me, Greg. I was gonna get that deal anyways. Let me be a free agent. I'm out there on a free agent ticket. I was gonna get my money anyway, so I'm not even gonna make it about that. But again, Pete Carroll, he was a good coach. He's a defensive back type of coach, you know what I mean? So I liked him personally. I don't think some guys liked his personality, how he was rah-rah, but I loved it. Some guys did, some guys didn't. You have Belichick coming in with his personality, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, we wasn't getting our butts kicked with Pete Carroll. Of course, Bill Belichick was better, but I'm just saying it takes certain individuals. But when you're losing at the rate that they are losing, and it's all over the place, yeah, you got to let him go. And probably most of the guys in the locker room feel the same way.
Speaking of wild takes this morning, can we get Ty on record on your Bill Belichick, Andy Reid, Mahomes take from earlier?
Oh, I said this, Ty, and I believe it with everything I have, is that if Bill Belichick was coaching the Kansas City Chiefs right now, you would not see them struggling the way they are because Bill would get the best out of a guy like Patrick Mahomes, where I feel like sometimes – Andy Reid is so, like, kind of, like, lackadaisical that they take advantage of him, which leads to some of the poorest play we see at times.
Hey, Wiggy, man, I don't know if you can say that at this point because, you know, when you look back and you Google Bill Belichick and his record right now at this point, come on, man.
I'm not talking about Bill in college. Wiggy, can we just use stats here? So Tom Brady was here in 2019. Yeah.
Had a very mediocre season. The next year, he threw for 40 touchdown passes and was the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Was that the 8-0 year?
2020. They were, right.
That was the 8-0. They were undefeated that year.
What?
Remember they were 8-0 through their
You said that Mahomes would be playing better.
Yeah, he would.
I said Mahomes stats. I'm talking about stats. Tom Brady.
No, I'm talking about the team.
16 more touchdown
passes. Talking about the team.
They won 4 more playoff games.
Has the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick's tenure ever struggled to the point that we see the Kansas City Chiefs struggling?
Didn't they win 4 games in his final year?
No. I'm talking about when they had Brady.
Oh,
when you have the best quarterback in the league.
They didn't get out of the first round of the playoffs. Mahomes has been in the AFC Championship 8 straight years.
They went to 9 Super Bowls with Belichick.
In 2019, they didn't get out of the first round of the playoffs.
That was the 8-0 year they started.
Who cares about how they started? What does that have to do with anything?
Because Tom was pissed at that time. At that time, Tom was checked out.
Well, you said the coach.
You said Tom Brady's tenure. That's part of Tom Brady's tenure. You can't just make excuses.
And they were 8-0.
It literally refutes your entire argument.
Huh? And they were 8-0.
I don't know about that take right there, Wiggy. I can't die on that one, Ty.
I'm gonna die. I'm not talking about UNC Bill. That's a different Belichick. I don't know who that guy is.
Damn, I did look up Ty's contract history though, and that is a pretty good deal that you got back in '99.
Oh yeah,
7-year, 51. He should have gotten more. You should have gotten more, Ty. I think you deserve more. But a jump.
Well, I mean, I tell my mom and dad all every day. I mean, they just selfish as hell. I mean, they just selfish. They go hook up that early. Had me in high school. Y'all could have waited 10, 15 more years, you selfish asses. You know what we'd be making right now?
Man.
I want the same DNA, everybody. I want the same DNA. But you know what we'd be making right now? and they got nerve to ask me for some damn money right now. You kidding me?
I'm with you on that one.
You wouldn't be out schlepping vodka if you had that contract.
What is 7 years, 51 mil today?
I'm right with Ty. I'm like, man, my mother couldn't have waited 15 years to have me. Man.
Yeah. I mean, even 10 years. You know, I played 15 years in the NFL. Like, 10 years, man. But again, you know, it was what it was. I'm happy I'm still here and alive. But, I mean, it was just a little bit of selfishness on their part. And y'all little nasty asses in high school, too. You selfish son. Selfish.
All right. Time now for the most entertaining play of the game, which is brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Visit 100,000 square feet of pure fun at Apex in Marlboro. What do we got? What's in the running here?
First touchdown to Pop Douglas.
Yeah, that was a good one.
The first touchdown to Kayshon Booty.
That
Drake
was a good
sliding
one too.
To his left.
Yeah, the that catch was, by Booty.
Whew. Yeah, but yeah, I would say. The Booty play as well. You know what I mean? That is, I mean, it was a good overall game. Again, okay, it was the Saints. I mean, you expected to win that, but I would say, you know, that I was a top player. Speaking of Apex, guys, you know I got to throw it in there. You lined that up real good, Greg. Mm-hmm. Apex Watch Party at 1 p.m. Marlboro. That's where I'm going to be at Sunday, so that's where we're hanging out because it's an away game, and we're going to be at Apex. So everybody come on out to Apex in Marlboro. For the game, I'm going to be there. I'm hosting. We're going to see the Patriots whoop some more. No, I ain't going to say it. I'm going to say but, Chime, mm-hmm. So you ain't got to go out. But we're going to be there hanging out. And then, hey, we're going to drink lots of Corvus. So come on out to Apex on Sunday, everybody.
Chime prefers tookus. He yes. used that on the show.
I do like that word. It's a great word.
It's like my grandmother used to use that word.
You said tookus.
Tookus, yeah.
It's like a butt.
What's that? An ad?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It says a butt.
Okay.
Ty, hook me up with people at Culture in Providence, Rhode Island, trying to get out there Friday, big dog, if you know anybody.
Okay. Oh, yeah, man. I got you, man. I got you, Hollywood Wiggy.
Yeah, Joshua Hernandez is going to be out there with a lot of tookus floating around.
Yeah, hey. That's what they're going to say. It's going to be a lot of took us out there at the halftime show, huh, Chime? Yeah. I like that one. I gotta use that one. It roll off the tongue.
It's a great word, Ty.
Right.
Okay.
Took us.
Yeah, I got it. I know, man. We ain't never heard that one in the hood right there. I like that.
Yeah.
You really don't.
You don't often hear it in the hood, I don't think. I mean, I'm not there, though.
No, definitely not.
No, it's...
I ain't never heard that one, man. That's a new name. You learn something every day. That's why I love you guys, man. You expand my vocabulary.
Yes. Hook me up, big dog, and I'm gonna need a room too.
Coco, you said you heard it before. Coco, you heard that with your grandma?
Yeah,
you said
no,
that
my Arlene Cox, one of her favorite words.
Said took us a
yeah.
lot.
Yeah. Right.
Well, when Shine was single, he used to get more took us than a toilet seat.
God,
you know it, so
I don't want to.
Hey, now that I know what it means. I mean, you don't want to be disrespectful, but just as a joke, because me and my mom, we like that. I'm like, Mom, somebody told me, I said, kiss my cookies. And she gonna be like, what the hell is that? then when I tell her that, she'll smack the hell out of me.
Right.
Kiss my cookies. Right.
Wait till you're in the car.
Tatas and cookies.
All right, Ty Law. Okay. Thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Guys. Hey, I'm in studio next week, guys. Look forward to seeing you. I'll be in studio next week.
Okay, excellent. We will see you here in beautiful St. Brighton next week. That is Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday at WEE.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye. Okay, Sean, it's reaching the point of obnoxiousness now, the gloating. It's not, it's unbecoming.
I keep receipts, Greg.
Yeah. Nice remix there.
Thank you. That's what I like to call the Drake May haters mix.
Okay. All right. We got you.
Where's you Merrill Hodge at? I will. Gonna get you fired. Yeah. Okay. You dope.
Well, Mike Vrabel complimentary a bit yesterday. I courtesy brought it up earlier. Hey, I like the fact that he doesn't go out of his way to compliment Drake May when he is on this program every Monday, as he was yesterday. So
I don't enjoy the trek to Foxborough, but on the way home on Mondays, I love listening to Jones and Keefe, as I do every day. Best midday show in Boston. And I was hearing Jones, and he often finds things that I miss. So when we were talking with the coach, I asked about Drake May and Josh McDaniels, and I thought Vrabel gave a very well thought out, reasoned response where he clarified both McDaniels and the offensive and the quarterback's coach. But Jones noted how much Vrabel spent in his answer complimenting everybody but Josh McDaniels, and that I didn't ask about the quarterback coach, and Vrabel volunteered that. So I don't know if you agree with Jones. We have the audio if you want to hear it.
He caught himself at the end. Vrabel then caught himself and said, oh, and you asked about Josh and like jumped into that.
I did ask about Josh and he didn't begin answering.
Sorry, maybe he didn't say you asked about Josh. Whatever he said, he caught himself at the end.
Let's hear it. I want to hear it. Go ahead.
You want to hear the whole thing or do you want to hear that end part?
How long is it?
Oh, like a minute and a half. It's a good robust answer from our guy Mike Vrabel.
Well, I would say that the credit goes to Drake. That's what it always go to. It's not going to go to anybody other than the player that's doing that and improving and understanding and making the plays. His ability to throw off platform and extend and keep his eyes downfield. You know, there were some things that we asked him to work on that Josh and Ashton asked him to work on coming out of Buffalo. I felt like he tried to do that. And then when he had to extend, have the ability to extend. But you know, I think that's... When quarterbacks can feel the rush, but also see downfield and see things develop, that can be deadly. Just it's hard to defend that as opposed to guys that they drop down, their eyes go down to the rush. Now they can't see guys open up and come free on the third level. So I think his receivers, I think he trusts those guys. I think he trusts to spread it around. I think he doesn't mind, you know, giving them a chance and putting it in some place where they can get it. And so I think that's a great combination between Drake's personal development and trust in the receivers. You talked about Josh. I think the relationship is great. I think, you know, we have a young quarterback coach that we feel very strongly about in Ashton Grant. And I think he serves a different purpose than Josh. Josh has one relationship with the quarterbacks, and I think Ashton has another. And I think that's a good dynamic. I think Josh continues to put things on their plate, and especially Drake, and give him things to look for, look at, and continue to develop.
Yeah, I mean, I don't read into that as much as Jones might. I mean, he's a noted Josh McDaniels hater.
My guy Jones.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't like the McDaniels mafia.
Yeah.
And so I mean, whatever it is working. However, they have those duties split.
Right.
Between he and the QB coach seems to be working.
And you could tell that Vrabel, because I give a lot of credit to Josh, but you could tell Vrabel is, credit goes to the players. It's Drake May.
And the quarterback coach.
Yeah, he made a very specific point to include Ashton Grant, the quarterback coach.
Because, you know, like he talked about the relationship. Quarterback coach is different than the offensive coordinator, right? So that relationship is going to be different because the quarterback coach is going to be meeting with the quarterback every day in those individual meetings where the offensive coordinator will jump in here and there but be more on the offensive team type of leadership role.
But then you heard somebody like Boomer yesterday who said his quarterback or his offensive coordinator knew him better than anybody else in the world, and that was so important to him. And when he lost that guy, that everything changed. Right. So, I mean, Josh McDaniels is very important when it comes to Drake May.
And you know what would have been interesting is to see what role, because some places the offensive coordinator is the quarterback coach, right? And in other places like here, the quarterback coach and offensive coordinator is a little bit different. So, you know, I think that Vrabel is more, players deserve the credit more than anybody, but the coaches help them out or get them to think like, hey, we need you to do this a little bit different
next week versus what you did against Buffalo, for example, he brought up.
I'm clearly a little biased, but to me it feels like Vrabel would be comfortable if they ever decided to move away from McDaniels because he has Ashton Grant taking care of Drake May.
That's a narrative that people have been trying to start, that Mike Vrabel didn't want Josh McDaniels, and that's, you know.
Well, it's never seemed like he wanted McDaniels.
Well, you're somebody who thinks Josh McDaniels is Tookus.
Yeah, I think Josh McDaniels was brought in by Robert Kraft.
I don't. I happen to look at the development of Drake May,
mm-hmm.
and I give he's the, for lack of a better word, Josh McDaniels is the department head. So those that are working under him,
mm-hmm.
He gets the credit for that. Yeah.
To me, it seems like the way in which Vrabel talks about these guys, it seems like on a week-to-week basis, the general game plan is in fact conducted by Josh McDaniels. But when it comes to actually Drake May's development, the way in which Vrabel talks about it, a lot of it is May and Ashton Grant. Those are the two guys working on Drake May, his mechanics, the way in which he keeps his eyes up downfield.
They're together 95%
exactly,
of the time.
Which is why yet another reason why I don't give Josh McDaniels nearly as much credit as everybody else.
Josh McDaniels gets the credit for the game plan, in-game calls, obviously being able to the flow of the game. I get the point where you're saying, Chime, is because 99% of the time, Grant is with Drake May because Josh is the offense coordinator and is not slash quarterback coach. And is now he probably pops into the quarterback room. He pops into the running back room, the tight end, wide receiver room. And I will say this, Greg, I do agree with Chime in a little bit in the sense of I would have never thought Josh McDaniels because I didn't really know what the connection was between Vrabel and Josh as coaches. So I would have thought like he would have went and hired one of his guys, right? So we know that Arthur Smith, who's the offensive coordinator Steelers. For Pittsburgh, is his guy. Then Todd Downing,
Reese before they hired Josh McDaniels.
So it was just interesting to see where their relationship came together as coach, head coach, and OC.
Vrabel has a much bigger history with Bill O'Brien than he does with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, so that was the interesting part of it, and I think maybe that's where some of the questions come from, the people who don't like Josh McDaniels.
There doesn't seem to be an issue there.
No.
It seems like things are going.
No, there's not, but it's just like if you never worked with somebody,
right.
but you know them as a, like, because you were on the team as a player and they were there as a coach, but you never worked with them, and then you now hire him, people would be like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
If Drake May sucked, and he certainly does not, who would be the first person fired?
Josh McDaniels.
So when he's successful, why is he going out of his way to praise the quarterback coach? That's his guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
like I didn't ask a single question about Ashton Grant. I wouldn't know him if I walked in front of him right now.
But I think that's his way of saying, okay, it's not just Josh McDaniels. Ashton Grant is the quarterback.
But then why
coach.
Didn't he also like bring up Todd Downing when he mentioned the receivers
right.
there? Like, he specifically brought up Ashton Grant mm-hmm. because he believes Ashton Grant is a large reason why Drake May is having success.
And it's not a theory that Mike Vrabel didn't want Josh McDaniels. That was Robert Kraft's hire. And it's fine. I would do the same thing. If I owned the team, I would make sure that it's not only the guys that I just hired that fill up the entire staff.
Yeah, but yeah, I think Vrabel had to okay it.
I just don't read in that it bothers him in some way.
I don't think it bothers him at all.
But
yeah.
he had to okay yeah. it, though. I don't think Robert Kraft is saying to Vrabel, we want you to be the head coach of this team, but you're going to have to hire Josh McDaniels as your OC. I don't think Kraft is doing that. And maybe Kraft says, hey, maybe think about hiring Josh, and then Vrabel does the interview process with him and likes him and then goes, okay, I like Josh.
He made a deal with Vrabel like, hey, if you bring in Josh, we don't really have to pay him. You can hire more of your guys to fill out other positions on the staff that make it easier for us that might be a little bit more expensive.
Yeah. All right. Excellent, Curtis. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you to Jones.
We are going to take a break. Still to come, Hill Notes in about 20 minutes. So leave one of those on any topic on the Odyssey app, and we will play the best ones coming up in just a little bit.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.